Blog Talk Radio.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God.
Hallelujah. 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 Blessed are you, Yahweh, Almighty One, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who has chosen the Torah, Moses, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth as righteousness and his men. Hallelujah. Good morning. This is Beth Yahweh, Congregation, Baltimore, Maryland. I'm your host, Shabael. Today, date is January, on the Gregorian calendar, January 29th, 2022. On Yahweh calendar, today, January the first month, 2022, January 29th, today's date, the Gregorian calendar. Yahweh's calendar, today's date is the 26th of Tibet. Tibet is the 10th month in Yahweh's calendar. I'd like to open with another prayer. Father Yah, thank you. Forgive us of our sins, sins knowingly and unknowingly. Father Yah, help our unbeliefs as we decrease so you can increase. Open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes so we can receive your words that we need to hear, to be equipped to go out in this darkened world and give your children, your lost children, and children that aren't lost, what they need. Pray for the Zakins and the congregation for their health and their strength, and to continue to give them wisdom, Father, that they can disperse amongst us in the congregation when needed. And I pray for all the wives in the congregation so they can be that ema to their family, that glue, a strong glue that holds the family together and play in a role. And we pray for the children in the congregation and the young adults in the congregation. Pray for our family and siblings, loved ones, and our neighbors, people we come across. And continue to strengthen us, Father, and give us our daily bread, which you know that we need before we even ask, before we open our eyes. Thank you for giving us the breath of life this day on this beautiful Shabbat morning. A little cold and chilly here in Baltimore, Maryland. But thank you for receiving and forgive me for anything that I forgot to pray for, Abba. Pray for the whole Israel and whole all over the world, where Israel, where we've been scattered at. Continue to lead and guide them and draw them back to the footsteps to follow behind the Lamb, wherever the Lamb goes. We ask you, in the name of your Son, Yahushua, our soon coming King and Redeemer, on our prayer. Amen. Good morning, fam. I'm Shabbat. If you can hear me, send me a text, fam. Do not disturb me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hey, family, just some things going on. We know the situation that we are here in the United States and globally, internationally, still dealing with the pandemic, another variant battling with, and more vaccines is being issued. But as believers, we cannot get dismayed by the things that are going on around us. We're told and warned by many prophets, especially the prophet of Jeremiah in chapter 10, they tell us do not be like the heathens or the non-believers, people that don't believe in the mighty one of Israel. It's very important, significant to believe in the mighty one of Israel, because he holds the keys to life. He is life. That's your source. So we cannot be get dismayed by things that's going on around us, that's happening around us every day. Not to lose our focus on Yahushua, who told us in Hebrews chapter 13, he told us in other places, but Hebrews chapter 13, he told us he'll never leave us nor abandon us. Some translations say forsake, but I like the term abandon. He'll never leave us nor abandon us. And be content in every situation that we are in, because he knows everything that we need. Stand fast and hold on, and so we can see the salvation of the Mashiach come and deliver us. That was a beautiful lesson. If anybody got a chance, if they didn't get a chance to hear it, that lesson is archived, last night lesson. Second installment, brother Ariel, taught, coming out of, if I'm not mistaken, the Art of War series. He went through orders and positions that we all play. And what came to my mind is it was very timely, because we as a congregation, we know our order and system, and that everything has to be done in decency and order, like the brother Ariel brought out last night, where Brother Paul quoted it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe, like 31, 33. Everything has to be done in decency and order. That's how Yahweh is. Nothing is catching Yahweh off guard like it does mankind. He's all-knowing, all omnipresent. So nothing catches him off guard. But what he wants us to do, he uses those things that he know it may stall us as his children, but keep us encouraged and to keep our eyes on him. And how we keep our eyes on him? His Torah, his Bible. Those are the lessons of life. They're the way that we maneuver through this life, because we know that we don't battle against flesh and blood. The brother brought out last night, one of his closing scriptures, if I'm not mistaken, it was 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, about pulling things down, strongholds that we go through. So we know we don't battle against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities and powers in high places. That's when the brother was mentioning about how a prayer Daniel didn't get through for 21 days. That was a battle going on. That's why the angel Gabriel said Michael, the archangel, had to come and assist him, because he battled a principality of a Persia that was in that reigned over that area. And that area delivered so eloquently last night, that power, that principality has individuals, he has rankings underneath of him that handles things. He only steps in when things get out of order, control, where he has to step in, because why? That's where he has his power. Just like if the good has an order, as the brother brought out last night, evil has the same order. Remember, nothing new under the sun. So, and the person that's behind all this evil, we know him as Hasatan, Satan, people say the devil. He has an order also, because where did he learn his order at? In heaven, as the brother brought out last night, on earth, as it is in heaven. So we know he learned all his system and everything is the opposite of the Most High. He knows order. He knows worship. Why? Because he was there. If you go in Ezekiel chapter 27, 28, I apologize for that. But it's one of those chapters that give you analogy of how Yahweh presented him and created him. So you were beautiful out of creation, full of wisdom, until he allowed the iniquity to overcome him and to overcome his thoughts. He didn't suppress them. He didn't pull them down and bring them under submission under the Mashiach. He didn't do that. And then the results of that, that's where he had more and more darkness come out of him. It's like we're the opposite. We're children of the light. He became the king of the darkness, the children of the darkness. That's why Yahshua, John 8:44, referred to him to the, you are like your father, who was a murderer, a lying thief from the beginning. So the murder, a lying thief in the beginning, not just in the garden, when dealing with humanity, when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, Kawah, but in the kingdom of heaven, as Ariel brought up, as you mentioned last night in the kingdom, I think, he had to get displaced. He had to be removed from that light, that darkness was trying to spread. And what did he do? He was murdering. How you murdered? Abel went over it last week, I believe it was, or a week before that. He murdered with his tongue. He committed a crime, that's a sin. Yahshua tells that in Matthew 5. Don't murder, but if you murder, if you say some things that's not true of a person, whatever that's what we call now, defamation of a character, that's why he labeled him. He was the first murderer because he was, had other angels telling them false information about the Most High. And he's very persuasive and influenced. It's because why? They were in the kingdom of heaven also. But that's how influenced him. He can become, and that's what he mastered. He's the master of that. That's why we can't beat him. We can't be Lone Rangers. No. Even Lone Ranger had talked over Silver, his horse, or Trigger, whatever. I know he had a horse. We can't go at him like that, because why? He's been doing this with since he was created. Ezekiel chapter 27:28. So only person can beat him. And it was proven how he did it when Yahshua came down in the flesh and defeated him in the garden. He defeated him on the tree, on the stake. People say cross, but it's a tree and a stake. Read that in Deuteronomy and Galatians to tell you that. But anyway, he defeated him there, but he also defeated him when they first met in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights when it was a famine of things. When I say a famine of things, like there's nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Yahshua was facing a famine. But if you look at it contrary on the other side, was he what famine? Was that a bad famine or was that a good famine? So my topic today is from my last topic when I taught on the January the 3rd on the Gregorian calendar. 2 weeks ago, I had Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, teaching. I talked about a famine that started with Abraham. That was Tibet the first. So now today, I'll still talk about a famine in different ways. Still a famine. It just came across my mind. So scripture came to my mind. I'm reading it here. Excuse me. It's in Matthew. It's a New Testament book. First New Testament book. It's found in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 5. In this account right here, Matthew chapter 5, 6-7, they call the Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes, where he took his disciples away from the crowd and he took them up to an area away from the distractions of the crowd, and he communicate with them. Some people call these the Beatitudes. Some people say Beatitudes. Let me see what this particular Bible right here. They had a heading. I'm still here, finally had to write something down. Apologize. Like I said, this particular Bible, it says seems like everything moving slow this morning. Probably time for a new phone. Yeah, it's, this particular Bible, the ISV calls them the Blessed Attitude, Beatitudes. One Bible said Beatitude. And basically, he's teaching about the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. He's teaching about kingdom living, teaching us the qualifications to become a citizen in this kingdom. It's Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. Real quick, see what another one comes. Yeah, and this one, NET calls it the Beatitude. But we get the understanding. And he says in Matthew chapter 5, he starts with those I'm going to read starting in verse 1. I'm going to be in the CJB and the WEB, definitely King James. I'm going to come out to CJB on this one. That's that CJB means the Christian. No, excuse me, the Christian. Excuse me, don't mean. Apologize, FM. Just see how we program so much, though. That's interesting. So we see a C, and it comes within the title of the Bible. I said Christian CJB. No, it's the Complete Jewish Bible. That's what that CJB is. It may be a Christian Bible out there. I hope it's not a Christian Jewish Bible out there, but who knows? There's a lot of trends. Getting back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, out of the Complete Jewish Bible version, it says, seeing the crowds, Yahushua walked up the hill. After he sat down, the Talmudim came to him, and he began to speak. This is what he taught them. Because remember I said, this would help you see teaching about kingdom living. Still a famine, though, family. Don't forget. I know I can. So much stuff came on my mind when I got finished praying and cut the phone on. I said I missed a call. It was from Rabbi. So let me call Rabbi. Hope it's all right. Because last time Rabbi called me some months ago, like, oh. So I said, oh, man. So I said, let me answer this phone. So I answered the phone. Thank you, Rabbi. You know, I said, yeah, I ain't mean to wake you. I said, I needed to get up. It was going on 9 o'clock. So, long story short, he told me, he said, hey, Ahavel, something came up, so Ahavel cannot teach his lesson, his portion of the day. He said, can you do it? He said, I was going to do it. I'm not, he's like, I'm not feeling up the par. So I said, okay, need a rest. Like Ariel brought out last night, it was funny, it was interesting because he does need a rest. And my job, I'm the filling guy. I know some people might say, oh, man. I wanted to hear Ahavel. Trust me, I wanted to hear that brother too, because he was rolling. But we're going to hear some more Ahavel. Yeah, I will, he be back. And definitely, I want to hear some Rabbi. I want to hear all my brothers, because Yariel coming on. Hold up. Yep, if nothing happened, yeah, I will. Yariel coming on this afternoon, so I'm not going to hold you long. So we be ready for him. I know I said, you say that all the time. Trust me. Got this Hanukkah that, rededication, renewing of the mind, stuff, this temple, it's been pretty good. We're going to get back to Beatitudes. That's why I'm here right now. Shabbat. So it says, kingdom living. Verse 3. He's teaching them, his disciples, so why his disciples can go out. Remember the commission in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, I want to say the Great Commission, Yahshua said. He came to them because after he was dead, after he crucified, 40 days he chilled, remember? And he went to, told them to wait for the remaining of the promise. The remaining of the promise, the fulfillment of the promise was at he resurrection. 50 days later, you're going to Pentecost to come. The Holy Spirit was going to come and dwell. And it came and dwell like, bam. And that's what he told them. He came to the Great Commission. Before he left, he said, hey, all power, heaven and earth, has been given to me. He said, continue to go and teach everything that I command. Everything. Not some things, not a few things. Or, well, I'm not teaching that. Don't need to be teaching that. No, he said, everything that he commanded. He said, and continue to baptize in my name. And some translation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, my name the Father. But we all know the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they're all in the same. They're all in the same. Because why? Yahshua will tell you, I do nothing of my own. Matthew 5, he tell you that throughout the scriptures. He said, I do nothing of my own. We only do what pleases the Father. My account doesn't come from me. It would be the void. It would be no good. But my account comes from the Father up above who I come from. So you need more. You know how the Torah goes. Matthew 18 tells us, and we know in Deuteronomy, two or more witnesses to establish a matter. The Father, you don't even need to, but he decency and order. Like I brought out last night, the brother Paul said it, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Two or more, who is that? The Father himself, Yahweh. And then Yahweh Elohim, which became Yahushua, the Son of Man who walked on the earth. So that's the two witnesses right there. And then when he said, I go send a comforter, people on the assumption that it's his little brother or something, or his twin brother. Nah, he just bring in more. He can bring more now of the truth of the Father and implant it within your mind. Let this mind be in you, like in the Mashiach, like Abel brought out last week in Philippians chapter 2. Being equal, didn't find it robbery, but he even humbled himself. So that's the spirit of the Most High. So you can't get no holier than that, like I explained to a person. So the Holy Spirit, I said, you never heard Yahshua when he walked and said, me, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. He always says, the Father and I, me and the Father. So you think he left out his twin brother, his little brother? No. The Holy Spirit, the holiest Holy Spirit, is the Father. His Father, the Creator. His Father who gave him life. And then we know how Colossians tells us. Colossians chapter 1 tells us, through him, for him, by him, all things was made. Mm-hmm. So getting back to Gattitude, clear that up a little bit. Verse 3, how blessed are the poor in spirit. So you see that word poor, right? Now I'm going to have to go to this other Bible, King James. We're going to look up some words real quick. What time we got? 11:28, good time. Poor. Poor in the Greek is 44:34. And it's potokos. Potokos. Greek accent on that one. It said poor. A beggar, reduced to beggary, begging, asking alms. Destitute of wealth, influence, position, honor, lowly, afflicted, destitute of believers, virtues, and eternal riches. Helplessness, powerless to accomplish an end, poor, needy, lacking in anything. Destitute of wealth of learning and intellectual culture which the schools afford. In parentheses, as men of this class most readily give themselves up to Mashiach teaching and prove themselves fit to lay hold of the heavenly treasure. But in the sense of that word poor, beggarly, destitute, you are in lack. Verse, I like the third definition. It said lacking in any, you're lacking anything in respect. But what we had to realize, Yahshua, was he teaching them now? These things, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. How blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We know the word mourning, to grieve. Comforted, 38:70 in the Hebrew. In the Greek, is parakaleo. To console, to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort. to instruct, to teach. So that's where Yahshua is going right now. At this, while talking to his disciples up on this mount. How blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Meek, mild in spirit, you know, mildness and gentleness of spirit. Humble, we more so familiar with that word humble. But they will inherit the land. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's the verse that I wanted to start off with, but I just figured, read it. Since he's teaching about kingly things and how to combat a deficiency or a lack in something, or what we call a drought or a famine, these are the instructions, the format, how to overcome these in any situation we find. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn. Excuse me. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So the word hunger in the Greek is 3983. Pineho. To hunger, to be hungry, to suffer want, to be needy, metaphorically, to crave ardently, to seek with eager desire. And when I saw that definition, I was like, man, to seek. That's how Yahshua want us to be. He want us to be hungry. He want us to suffer want. He want us to be needy. But not of the worldly thing, but of his Father, the kingdom things, kingly, heavenly things. Figuratively, to crave. So we want us to change our mindset, because we want our mindset, and change our appetite. Because of everything without these definitions I just went over, lack, suffer. One, these things can be controlled by us through the Spirit, as the brother brought out last night, one of the scriptures, with the pulling down of strongholds and bringing it under submission of Yahshua. So if there's anything not right, pure, or just, or righteous, you know, aligns with Yahweh's laws, commandments, and statutes, we need to pull them down and put them and submit them under the will and the righteousness way of Yahshua. That's how we defeat it. So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, but they shall be filled. So that's how we combat. A famine, or when we lack them. A substance or thing that we desire, because a lot of things come from our desires, like this appetite. And I'm going to read another verse for you. Okay, I was looking for the verse. I'll find it. For some reason, I always thought that was found in that verse, but it's not. In this book. I caught a brain freeze. Apologize for that. But as I was saying before looking for this verse, I caught a brain freeze for this verse, that everything that we lack or desire. We can control it. As the brother brought out last night, he said we can perfect or perform the Torah. Either way, both of them are good. Well, we can't perfect it without us decreasing, removing ourselves, and renewing our mind, changing our mind, and allow the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and come through us. That's how we can perfect the Torah. We can't do it on our own. We'll crash. We know that because Romans 7, 14, 15, we say, we know, Paul talking about believers, people that's following Yahweh and the laws, the commandments, and statutes. He said, for we know that all those things, they're physical things, but they point to a higher spiritual meaning. Okay. Look for this verse, family. I'm coming up. Give me 1 minute. Apologize. I don't know why I always thought that was in that book. I was in a book. I was in the right book. I was in 1 John. I read 1 John chapter 2. 1 John is a letter in the back of the scriptures. And chapter 2, it says, and it is kind of like, it reminds me of, like a more to when he was talking to them when he in Matthew chapter 5-7, teaching them about kingdom living, which is called the Beatitudes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 starts off and says, my little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. And he starts off, he's saying, little children, what are you talking about? Little kids, per se. We know at one account that he did talk to children, and he put hands, you know, he blessed the children, and the disciples was trying to, shoo the children off, like, oh, we got something to do. And he's like, oh, suffer not. The children come. He taught a lesson in that. He said, unless you become like a child, unless we become like a child, he could use himself, because why? He humbled himself and did everything that the Father asked him to do. He had a will where, just like we all have a will and an appetite and the want, that he didn't have to do what the fathers asked him or required from him. He was a grown man. We know when we read every account about him, we know he had to be like 30 years old. We know doing what the book of Numbers tells us that, gives us information how Yahweh order is, like the brother brought out David, King David. Yahweh, the Spirit, King David, the 24 courses that you find in Second Chronicles or First Chronicles of how the priestly tribe perform their duties, because there was a lot of duties during the temple time. Besides just the sacrifices, the upkeeping of the temple, the bread, shoe bread table, the lighting of the lamps, there's a lot of duties. So instead of just one person doing that, one priest, Yahweh gave to David, put on David mind, heart, and David, I mean, excuse mind, and then David presented the 24 priestly courses. So as we see, being a little child, I'm 54 years old, thank Yah, and I have to be childlike. That's one of the requirements. Not saying act like a child, because Brother Paul said, when I was a child, I did childish things. I spoke as a child, but now no longer. So you have to see the context and see where it's coming from. But yeah, he don't want me to be childish, but I have to have a mindset. But the thing what he wants us to see is like a child. A child is reliant on their parents, because the children, they don't know. And as they grow and get to know more and experience more, then they don't be too reliant on their parents, but they still have to be obedient to their parents, especially while they're upcoming in their parents' household. And if you're a child and you realize as you get older, you still want to take heed to your parents' wisdom and advice because they're giving it to you out of love. So that's what Yahshua wants us to be, wants us not to get, like, I'm a grown man, I know the scriptures, I know that, but I still had to be childlike, had a childlike. So I'll be open to hear the Holy Spirit and minister the words that he wants, that he know what every individual needs. And not because I was going to, I don't know, I was going to teach something. I was studying at work this week, but he's like, no, you're going to finish. You're going to do some more family, but you're going to come this way. So I had to humble myself like a child because it's something someone needs to hear, the spirit needs to hear. So that's what my job is to do. My job is to deliver Yahweh word, not Shabbat word. Shabbat word might be good, but my word won't do like the word of Most High. Because why? What he say in John chapter 6? Words of flesh, a fleshly word. But you want to speak spiritual words that stick, that hold, that produces something, that ignites something, cause a reaction. You don't want to just say some good sounding words. We're in a spiritual warfare. Let's not forget that. It's a famine. The whole world is in a famine. We got plenty of news about COVID-19 and different, what was it, Delta variant last summer and coming over to the year, from the summer of the year, the Omicron, and guess another one will come. We got plenty of news in that. And doctors' advice, professional doctors, only well, doctors are wise and all that, but they're not wiser than the Most High. And nobody's telling people, repent, turn to Yahshua, turn to God, turn back to his ways. What's God's way? His holy Bible, and learn his ways. Learn his remedies. Everything we face in life is found in his scriptures. Okay, enough of that. Come on. Back to 1 John chapter 2. The little children, that's what we have to do. He said, my little children, I write these things so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have a counselor with the Father, with Abba, Yahushua Mashiach, the righteous. Bam, right there. A counselor. That word counselor in Greek can be helper, intercessor, an advocate, and a comforter. And he is the anointing sacrifice for our sin. And for ours only, but also, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So see, when a brother's coming on, our angry cousins, I call them, some Hebrew brothers in Baltimore, Maryland, they're around the states too, but you got some here. They have a doctrine that no person that they're not of a certain skin hue or derived from black, like we call black African-American, black is a color, Yahweh made nations of people. But you know where I'm coming from. They say they can't get in the kingdom of heaven. They're not black or African-American. It's not true. All through the scripture, you see that. Yes, he does talk about for the children, the lost children of Israel, but he also says to whomsoever. And then we go all the way back to it. Moshe, Moses, when he say one law for the homeborn, sojourner, a person that you bought with your money, like Abraham, Father Abraham, he bought people with his own money, and took them on his household, and he circumcised them, and what? They became in the nation now. They were no longer considered what they would call a heathen or a Gentile. They were engrafted. They were what we call adopted into a family. So it's one, it's for everyone that who accepts it. That's why I said, not for ours only, but also for the whole world. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. So you don't have to get along throwing out argument, person. I know I love the Lord. He know my heart. He know my heart, and he know your thoughts, far or whatever, in your quiet time, whatever, and he know that you're not keeping his commandments. He know when you're keeping his commandments, you're not keeping his commandments. And so that you know, so you would know and don't be caught off guard, that's why he gave us the Bible. So you can go and find out, as brother brought out last night, every Sabbath, the Torah was taught, Moshe was taught. We saw the edict that brother James wrote down when they went to Jerusalem, when Peter, Paul, and the disciples went to Jerusalem. It just came out of the book of James. Two Sabbaths ago.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4, one who says I know him and doesn't keep his commandments is a lie, and the truth isn't in him. But Elohim, love has most certainly been perfected in whosoever keeps his word. This is how we know that we are in him. He who says he remains in him ought himself also to walk just like he walked. Sound like Brother James a little bit when he's saying, like, show me your faith. Faith without works is dead. Brother, Father Abraham, he said, Abraham, leave out your country and go to a land where I will show you. That was childlike. Abraham had to be very childlike. I think Abraham was 75 years old when he was told that. And had wealth and a lot of possessions. As I stated before, he didn't have to do that. He could have been the opposite of the rich young ruler. Only thing, he wouldn't have been a young, well, then again, they lived to be 100 years old, 200, 300. Abraham, 75, that still could be a young ruler. But you're getting what up the contrast, the parallel I just put up. Brothers, I write no new commandment to you. See, people think it's a new commandment, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. See, nothing new under the sun. These commandments just continue to be build on and more being expounded on over the years to give you a better and give you more fuller and clarity on a subject and a matter. That's why he tells us in instructions in Isaiah chapter 26, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line. So you get a little from here, a little from this prop, a little from this book. You go back here. That's how you build up, and then you can get a Yahweh, Holy Spirit, reveal stuff to you. You get a full picture. So there's no new commandment. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And I write a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light already shines. Hallelujah. Okay, now we're going to go down to we'll drop down to, because you know, we'll drop down to verse 12. They say, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, little children, because you know the Father. So we kind of see some Elijah in there, the spirit of Elijah, which we know is still one spirit. Remember, we all part of one body, like Paul said in First Corinthians chapter 13. So it's one spirit empowered in the source behind every prophet everyone spoke. And remember, it's Elijah, and he's speaking about how John the Baptist would come, Yahshua said. He said he turned the hearts of the fathers and the sons back to the father. Because man got away from being childlike and got into their own imagination. Because we know that imagination, that's what happened to, not imagination, their own mindset, and bring forth what? Unclean fruit, unpleasant fruit. That's why Yahshua told you know them by their fruit. So we had to remain childlike, stay in the Torah, pull it down in obedience of Yahshua. And that's how we remain childlike and in the Father's will, so we can conduct ourselves as those kingdom citizens that we started teaching in what they call the Beatitude in chapter 5 of Matthew through chapter 7. Verse 14, I have written to you the you, fathers, because you know him who was from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God remains in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Verse 15, that's the verse that I wanted to get to. Don't love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves him, loves the world, the Father, love isn't in him. And remember I said, when you read those definitions about famine, a lack. Remember I said that the verse that I wanted, but I just read from verse 1 all the way down. I think it was verse 6. Matthew 5, 6 said, blessed are them that thirst. It's verse 6. Yeah, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. How blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So you see right here, the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, verse 16, the pride of life isn't the Father, but it's the world. Remember we was in the book of James, and Brother Darewell had read the first three chapters of James, how he broke that down, how these things, they're already, just like we know, like I said, you go to Ezekiel 28, 27, I apologize, but I know it's one of those chapters. They tell you about the origins of Yahweh, gives you a little insight how Hasatan was before he was Hasatan, before he made himself Hasatan, by not remaining humble as a humble child, a humble servant, staying in his order. He was Lucifer. Light. His name meant light. And so he allowed the darkness to overcome him. And therefore, that's how he got put out, cast out. So we see the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride of life is of the world. The world is passing away with its lust, but he who does God's will remain forever. And we're going to go down to, we're going to go to verse 18, because right, this is very timely, because we're in the book of Thessalonians. We're in I did two last week. Yep, Brother Ariel, if that's what Yahweh's Spirit lead him today, late on the day, this evening at 2:30, he's going to be in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I believe. But it's good because this verse 18 says, little children, these are the end times. The Thessalonians at that time, they heard the teachings, and they were preparing themselves for the end times. And Brother Paul, that was part of his message and his teaching, Timothy, Paul, and Silver, that got sent there. That was a part of the teaching to reassure them and encourage them, keep them encouraged doing what you're doing and persecution that you're going to face for listening to this circumcision doctrine that they were presenting to the other nations, because that was Paul's duty. That's what his order was, to teach the Gentiles, the nations that didn't know the Most High. Peter taught the Jews, or the people that knew the ways, early ways of the Most High. But Paul's job was to teach all those other nations that didn't know the ways of the Most High, to bring them and to adopt them in. So verse 18, and he told them, he encouraged them, like, no, you have to go back to work, continue your job, continue your everyday life living, but live it as a changed individual, like First Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5. Tell you, it gives you a list of things. It says, you were adulterers, murderers, effeminate. That's a term for like what nowadays we see so much of it over the last 15 years. Effeminate, that would fall into like what we call a homosexual, what God calls an abomination. But that's a spirit. But in the world, it's acceptable, called a community, a LGBTQ community. And in the biblical days, it might sound mean and hard, but I got to speak what the words of Yahshua say is where I got to speak with that authority that he gave me the truth. It would not be a LGBT community. And they said, hold on, but he's love. Yeah, he is love. That's why it would not be a LGBT community. He's like, LGBT, so you don't know. You might be old school, come up with certain words, You can't say no more on your job. You'll get fired. We said gay coming up. We also use the slang derogatory term, which begins with an F. F-A-G-G-Y. Or I-E, whatever. But there would not be, because of the love of the Most High, because he said that's an abomination. And he said, when we just read a couple verses up in this letter of 1 John 2, he said, the knowledge of the Father, the will of the Father, with the Son, the Father, the young men, you strong in the word. They knew when they were coming up that it was an abomination to the Most High. Why? Go all the way back to the garden. And what was the command? Not just to mankind, but even to the plants and all his creation. If anybody knows, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So I'm sitting in the room. I think it was therapy in my room. And I said, man, Father, how you do that? Because I got up, I think it was Wednesday morning, to catch the moon. And so Wednesday morning, when you see it, was it Wednesday morning? No, it was Wednesday morning. To catch the moon Wednesday morning, that was the, it was Thursday morning. I apologize. To catch that moon, to see it Thursday morning, when I seen it, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, that was the moon, the moon comes in at sunset. So that was Wednesday night, the 26th on the Gregorian calendar, don't confuse me by it. But that was the 24th on Yahweh's calendar, the calendar. It's crazy to say that, but you got to do that many times, people don't know. But that 24th came in Wednesday at sunset, what I'm trying to say. But I didn't see it until 4 o'clock in the morning, which we call Thursday morning. But it's still the 24th, and it looked like the fifth phase. It wasn't what it looked like. It was the fifth phase. And when I say fifth phase, I'm like, hold up, Shabbat. You just said that was the 24th. How is that the fifth phase? I'm explaining it to you. It was the 24th of the month. The moon has phases. It starts off with a spin sliver, a crescent, which came the first of the month, was January the 3rd. Was that evening at sunset on Monday, January 3rd, was Rosh Chodesh. That meant it was the first day of Tibet, the 10th month. That moon went from a very thin sliver, and it just kept getting built. It kept getting bigger and bigger, and it goes from right to left. So that what I mean by that, just like Hebrews read right to left, the light starts from the right, and the moon start getting on the left side, but then it start getting fuller and fuller as the moon is being fruitful and multiply. Because I said, how you told everybody that to be fruitful and multiply in your creation? And what do we know the animals, the plants, and the trees, like Ahabel brought out so eloquently last Sabbath morning class, the Bible study class, why I wanted him to be here, but probably going to be back. How you talking about how the fruit, because it made me think when I had my lesson on New Moon, on the first of the month, I was talking about how food is nutrition and that, and how we do food, and how Bell broke down the seed part of the food. I was like, that was good. That's the other part that I didn't have, that I didn't bring out. It was on the notes. And I couldn't bring it out the way how Bell brought it out anyway. So I'm learning the things that I've missed, left on the paper and get mad. It meant to be that way because why? I can't bring it out the way whoever brought it out that next day or the next teaching or whatever. So I'm in the room going crazy, ecstatic, like, ha, 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 yeah. Give it to him, Bell. Just like when Uriel taught a couple weeks ago. I went back on his teachings, the advanced trainings and all that. Like, yeah, give it up. Deal well with the book of James. Boy, I need that. I needed that. My tongue almost burnt down my family. When I say my family, my son, my only child, and his little family, but my tongue was getting ready back that morning. But by being a Sabbath, just threw a couple of texts I shared with the brother with some things that transpired that week. And then bam, what happened? Yahweh like, got your lesson for you. Sit down, you ready? And Dale Well came with that book of James about this godly living. Another part of Matthew chapter 5-7, the Beatitudes or kingdom living, citizen living. But to make a long story short, how Abel brought the fruit, and then he tells us in the command why homosexuality, why wouldn't it be an LGBT community? Because he would have annihilated them. Why annihilated them? Is he's for love? Where's people reading that? If you go in the scriptures, you see at least two of calm down, man. Get loud for Saturday morning. Afternoon. Excuse me. I know y'all here, and I got a big mouth. If you look in the scriptures, you see at least two accounts of an LGBT community. He said, Brother Shabbat. Oh, you're talking about the rainbow in Genesis chapter 9:11? Oh, no, I'm not. And that was a nice, I finally got to see him real quick before this started. I looked at all the texts that got sent. I think Jerry, Donna, somebody, Alicia, somebody, they always sent a nice stuff out. And it had a rainbow or something. And so people assuming that the rainbow, because they used the rainbow, they hijacked the rainbow for they flag. No, that rainbow, if you want to know about a rainbow, that's not LGBTQ. Me and Aki Baruch had a discussion, and Brother Marcus, we was in Matt Tayyar, we was up in Men's Fellowship, and we was talking. And I bring up something about a sweat I had. And I'm just learning Aki Baruch. I see he got a sense of humor, and he's funny. I don't know what, just through text messages. But that's the first, then I seen the bro when he used to come and visit the congregation, but he just come and holler, shake hands, and he had to bounce because he was up here on leave or something. He got to go back to Georgia on his duty. But I got to be with this brother 3-4 days up there. Brother crazy. The brother got a nice personality. He fit right on in with us. We all crazy in a good sense. For those who listen and say, well, I won't be attending no Bethlehem way. Baltimore, Maryland. We won't attend anyway unless the Father Spirit draws and leads you, because we come into understanding here at Beth Yahweh, the Spirit of Father that leads and guides you here. I could have wound up anywhere as I got put out of my Baptist church, Seventh-day Adventist church. I didn't get put out of that. I had to wait and leave on that one. But anyway, long story short, we all different. But getting back to the LGBT, two LGBTQ communities in the scriptures, and no, it's not the rainbow. The rainbow, if you read Genesis chapter 9:11, 9:11, 9:11, right? Yeah, right. You read that, it says what? I will never destroy the world again with a flood. He ain't saying he never going to destroy it, because we know Peter tells us, it's going to be so fire. Throughout the scriptures, Isaiah, Jeremiah, some of the prophets back then, some of the ones that they call minor, ain't none of that word minor. Like Jude got one chapter. That's why you ain't got to say the book of Jude. Chapter one, you can just say Jude, verse 7. There's only one chapter. But anyway, getting back to what I'm saying, long story short. That rainbow is a covenant. That's a covenant, and that's a sign. So every time you see a rainbow, I go crazy. I'm like, ha-ha, he kept his word. He cannot go against his word. So he's not saying he's never going to destroy the earth again. And he's not destroying the earth just because. That's his creation. He's destroying the sin that came and tainted and stained his world. Think of a volcano. That's the only thing I can think of. How a volcano is like, it'd be shaking. People say, boy, get ready for this. She's going about to blow. Boy, he's going to blow. I don't know why they call cars boats. Girls anyway, women. Maybe the women, maybe y'all flipping. Okay. He rides smooth. Got the shark change on him, my boy riding nice. So got my boy shined up. So I don't know, maybe women call the cars boys. I don't know, it's crazy. But anyway, he or she, or it's going to blow. And the volcano would shake, do you want it to start smoking? I don't think any of them just one day just go, whoosh, like, oh my goodness. No, I think it's things happen. But anyway, long story short. The world has been tainted just like as a volcano when it goes off. Google a volcano, look at the volcano. You know, when you got some space, huh? How that lava start coming out, the smoke, some of them, and the lava, and it's shaking, and it starts spilling and running down. You got to get out the way, because I heard this hot lava rocks. I don't know how hot it is, and scientists, it's hot. And I know how I feel when I bake a lot. I don't like to fry, so, you know. Going in that oven, if I don't have that glove on the right way or pull it up right, my thumb or something or finger or something hit one of those racks in the oven, that bad boy burned. I got to put some olive oil on it, some shea butter, and the next day I look like a little, like I'm related to a Cincinnati, not a Cincinnati, a Bengal tiger. It's a Cincinnati Bengal. Ain't no sense fixing that Bengals, son. That's a football thing. That's a Bengal tiger. But anyway, I get a strike from there, bro. But that's how sin is. Sin came all over his creation, so he gotta clean it up. He cleaned it the first time with that water. Boy, did he clean it. We know the count. You go back to Genesis chapter 6. Because the brother brought out good analogy how he's setting this thing up, how he went to Enoch. And he went to that chapter in Enoch, I think it was chapter 3 or so, when he brought about how the rankings were. Chapter 7, I believe it was. Yep, chapter 7, I think it was. It talked about how it's even ordered through how Satan came in. So that's how a volcano did. It destroyed everything. That's how sin is. Sin destroyed everything and melted down. So he's going to destroy it. So no. Let me slow down. The rainbow is still of Yahweh. Always was for Yahweh. And it's for Yahweh's people and his children. It's our rainbow to claim back for what it is and what it is. And so we can proclaim and tell people. That's another sign to show. You're talking about, ain't no God. There's no God. Every time that come out, that's letting you know there's a God. But getting back to the two LGBT communities, that if it was accepted, it'd be way a bunch of them by now. But it was two accounts in there to show you that God calls that abomination, because why? It goes against the commandments that he gave in the beginning in Bereshit in Genesis chapter 1. He told everything when he was creating stuff, that there'd be, you'd be fruitful and multiply, fruitful and multiply. A man and a woman can produce a child if Yahweh allows it. A man and a man, he cannot produce a child. He can they can adopt a child like they do. A woman and a woman cannot produce a child from them two self being in a union. They still would need a man involved to have a child, both of those women. Where a man can't do that, man ain't just nothing, ain't nothing happening. He would have to have a woman involved in the union. So therefore we tell you, be fruitful, you can't be multiplied. And you can't be fruitful. And what he always tells us, you'll know them by what? Their fruits. So why? He destroyed that tree. That tree got destroyed. He showed you how he feel on that. What happens? It keep creeping back. So you said, what's the two? You said, well, stop it. I am going to tell you the truth. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? When the two angels came and got Lot? Hey, Ariel, I'll talk about that a couple weeks ago with that bad training or something. Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed because why? It was what we call now LGBT community. Excuse me, a city. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an LGBTQ city. So I was thinking, I said, whoa, when I grew up, San Francisco was like that. But now that I'm understanding the scriptures, all of San Francisco wasn't like that. Because them bad boys, probably would be in that water over there, too, in that Pacific Ocean over that way. So it's still some righteous, few righteous that's sprinkled in there, a remnant that's saving San Francisco. That's when I grew up. Then over the last 20 years, Atlanta, Georgia, that became the African-American gay city, whatever. That probably the new San Francisco. That's the East Coast. Yeah, that up over by the Atlantic Ocean, and you got San Francisco over by the Pacific. And then up north on the East Coast, it was Maine, correct me if I'm wrong, was Maine or something. That probably been like a lesbian community. But getting long story short, not that many of them. They still popping up because that sin still exists. And they're not really, why they not destroyed and they not broken off into the water. It's ironic, they right near the water where all of them. He could break them right off in the water. If you read in the story how he opened up the ground and got rid of Korath and his family. When they were tripping on Moshe's authority, because they didn't want to do like Brother Ariel taught last night. They didn't want to follow their assigned authority in their role. They told Moshe, hey, you're doing an awfully lot, you and her. We Hebrew too. Mm-hmm. And got themselves what? Swallowed up. We call them now what family? Sinkholes. They was on the news what 4 years ago. But getting back to the other LGBT community. Back then, that was Lot, remember? Sodom and Gomorrah got burned, right? Didn't he show us something? Why he didn't use a flood to get them? No, he rained down hailstone, and he turned brimstone and fire, giving us a preview of not just because of that sin, but any sin, you're going to get burned. It's going to get purified. It's going to be stripped and clean. The opposite of the volcano. The other LGBT community, remember it was a Levi priest that had a concubine. And he wanted, you find that in Judges. And they were LGBTQ back then. He wanted to kill them. So no Yahweh, if he was, it was, we all was following Torah and God we trust and this and that. Wouldn't be no LGBT community because it can't be fruitful and multiply. And getting back to what I was saying about the moons, like how they fruitful and multiply, because it started off on the 3rd of January as a little sliver. Remember I told you Wednesday when I saw it, which was, I mean Thursday morning, which was the 24th because it came in the 5th. It was the opposite because I remember I told you I said it looked like a 5. But remember I told you Hebrews read right to left. So on the 7th of January, it was a 5, but it was the light was on the right side and the whole left side was dark. But coming down at the end of the month, on that 24th of the month, that 24th is the opposite of the 5th of the month. What I mean by that, it's dark on the right side because he moved right to left. So that means the moon was waxing, coming in when it's new. Remember I said the 5 was on the right. But now when the moon is going out, it's waning. And it's how it looked like a 5 then, because why? The 5, the light was on the left side of the moon. The right side of the moon dark because it's waning going out. Because it's getting ready to come into a new month on Wednesday, February 1st. Because see, you got, couldn't see it. Did I see it Thursday? Yep, quarter third. Thursday was the 25th, which was Friday morning. That was looked like a 4. Last night I couldn't see nothing. This morning I just woke up about 9 o'clock. That supposed to look like a 3. Tonight at sunset would look like a 2. Just the opposite of the beginning. Remember, it's waning out. It's going out. And the night would be the 27th at sunset. Right now, the 26th, it's like a 3. The night would be 2. And then tomorrow would be the 28th of the month. And it would look like a sliver. So tomorrow, if you got a chance to see it, Sunday night at sunset, which you would see it in the morning hours, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, which would be Monday, what they call Monday morning, it would look like how the first of the month came in on January the 3rd, but the opposite side, because it's waning out. So that means it'd be all dark on the right, and at the very left side, it'd be a thin sliver as it, when it when the month come in and going to begin be, as a new month, like on the first of, I mean, excuse me, yes, February the 1st on the Gregorian calendar, which would be Sebet the first. Excuse me, Wednesday is the 2nd. My bad, I'm looking at the calendar wrong. Yeah, Wednesday the 2nd on the Gregorian calendar would be Sebat the first. That means the first of the 11th month. And that's how that crescent, but that crescent is going to be on the right side. The light, sliver light will be on the right, and the whole left will be darker. Why? It's waning. I mean, excuse me, it's waxing, it's coming in. It's just a little class B, you understand, so in case you see it. And that's what I meant by, it's when I said it looked like fire. Like, oh, that's confusing, but it's the opposite. But getting back to how that's fruitful, because each day that thing produces what? It produces what, fam? More light. So it's being fruitful, and it's multiplying. Because 1, 2 don't look like 1, 3 don't look, 7 definitely don't look, you find what I'm saying, 14 is 4, 15 is 4, that, that, that. And then Monday is dark, so you got 2 dark days. The 31st of January would be dark day, which would be the 29th of Tibet this month. Tuesday would be the other dark day, which would be the 30th of Tibet. And then, bam, the new moon come in. So that's what I'm saying with you. Because I asked him this Thursday, like, how did the moon be fruitful and multiply? And now the sun, he was like, my brother Seth Well brought it to our attention years ago. He said, you ever noticed when we were talking about the moon? He said, the sun don't do like the moon. It don't start off a crest, a little sliver, and then get big, 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 and half a sun, then a full moon sun. He said, the sun always like that, but the sun moves. We know its course. Remember Psalms 19 tell us? That was one of the places it's found, tell us the sun course. So everything got to be fruitful and multiply. And the LGBT community could not be fruitful and multiply. So that's enough of that. I'll break that down. But getting back to where we at. Be back in 1 John chapter 2. We'll finish this up. verse 18, little children, these are the end times. As you heard, anti-Mashiach is coming. Even now, many anti-Mashiach have arisen. By that, we know that this is the final hour. They went out from us, but they didn't belong to us. If they belonged to us, they would have continued with us. But they left. They might be revealed that none of them belong to us. You have anointing from the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. Well, you know what's true, things that's true. Verse 21, I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lies of the truth. So we know that the things that we do, the Sabbath, how we know the day of the Sabbath? Not because somebody told us. That's somebody told us. We went in the scriptures and this Torah and found out what thus said Yahweh said in the first chapter, first two books of the Bible. This is the promise which he promised us, eternal life. So now let's just finish this up. What time is it? Yep, 12:17. So we're going to finish. Oh, since we was on that topic, this was one I forgot to bring up when I had to teach 2 weeks ago. Like a little sidebar, but fit in perfectly. I just gave that illustration. This came to my mind, too. When I was little and young, I couldn't do it because my son, when he got a certain age, whatever, it was discontinued. And I'm going to be a grandfather, God willing, in upcoming March the 2nd or something. You know, only y'all know, whatever it will. And I said, man, I won't be able to take my grandson. Like, I couldn't take my son. He's like, what you talking about? I took my nieces before when they were little. And what I'm talking about, when I grew up, it was something called, it was entertainment, right? For children, adults too. I'm saying some adults being there smiling, like, ooh, they got some elephants and tigers and bears and the clowns. But it was entertainment for all the whole house. Somebody would find something entertaining. Grandmother, grandpa, mom, dad, all the way down to the little smaller toddler. Because you say, what a little toddler know about animals and all? Just the lights itself. When you went to the circus, lights be going on and all that. But long story short, the circus was out when I was young. And for the kids and children, the family, a family event to go to or attend. Put it that way. That's what I'm trying to get at. Something family event. They took and removed the circus because people said it was cruelty to... They removed, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they removed the elephant first. So it was cruel to the elephant. You took them out of the environment. So elephants, they was relieved. They didn't have to work the circus no more. And I forgot who was next. And then a couple years right after, they said it was cruelty to every animal that was in the circus. So if you know anything about the circus, some of Ringling Brothers, Bone and Bailey Circus, when I grew up with. Knew anything about the circus, that's mostly 80% of the circus right there. If you take the lions, tigers, bears, animals, I mean, you still got the clowns getting their thing on and what you call the trapeze or the high wire. It was a term. They walk, hold this pole for balance, and they go tightrope. They walk up across this cable, across the top of the arena, and you see them, and like, ooh, and they don't fall. That's the rest of the circus. Take the animals, you got to have a whole act of that. And that, I guess that'll get boring after a while. Just saying, okay, he or she's still walking on the rope. She ain't falling. They flipping and bouncing. But people missing the animals, the lions, the tigers, horses. But what I'm trying to say is this. That was a family thing, a family event that everybody can enjoy, whatever. And nature was involved, too. You got to see the animals. Because what came to my mind was Brother Dale Well had brought out, when he was talking about James, what set in my mind when I studied later on that night, he said, man can tame everything. And I thought about it. See, right. Adam tamed everything. Then Sigmund Freud and them came along. They was taming tigers, but that one tiger got kind of upset. And they had to hit him with a fire extinguisher, spray him, grab him, beat him. He bit old boy. Got tired of that. They took the circus. They took certain animals away. Then they completely took the circus away that I know of. No more circus. But look what they did, though. But look, it's ironic because that was cruelty and teaching kids cruelty and whatever. But then, if you notice TV and everywhere now, they're pushing this LGBTQ. They in the movies, TV, school literature. I remember in one state, they got books now, early as the first, second grade, the kids' primary school starting to learn. That's in there. Janie got two mommies. Jimmy got two daddies. They pushed that in, but they took away the circle. It's just something that came to my mind because there well was talking. We can tame everything, but we can't tame the tongue. And the only way we can tame that tongue is with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Like we just read in 1 John chapter 2. Like I said, another part two of the Matthew chapter 5 through 7 of Beatitudes. And like I said, that Matthew chapter 5 verse 6, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's a famine, people. It's a famine in the land of the ways of the Most High. It's people that don't know that LGBTQ, homosexuality is an abomination to God. Because people are getting taught that God is love, so they love each other. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, there is something wrong with that. God said, no, that's not my love. What did James say? All good wisdom come unbraided come from the heaven above. That's a man's way of wisdom and thinking, this is okay. Yeah. It's been a famine in the land of the ways of the Most High. The Most High. And I had to realize that during the 8 days of Hanukkah, when I had to do, evaluate myself, cleanse my temple up. This is where the Most High dwells at. So I had to evaluate myself, examine myself, like Hebrews chapter 13 say, examine yourself. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 5 says, to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith, with it, the faith, not the faith of the world, the faith of the TV evangelists, the faith out here. No, we know it's a famine. So we know that's not even true. You're not even getting no good food. You're eating, you're not even getting full. I read you can eat, but if you don't eat properly, you still can be malnourished and suffer from malnutrition. Like, golly, you would think like, that means you don't eat anything, but like starving like Marvin. No, that's not the case. So that's what's going on in the world. Things that look acceptable, like, okay, but it's not okay to the Most High. So it's you're transgressing your iniquity, you law breaking, you're transgressing, because you're getting so it's a way that we have to come along as believers, children of this kingdom, and we have to present this. This stuff had to come out, shine forth through us. He told us, Matthew 5, we're the lights of the world and we're the salt of the world. So we had to be like this, be fruitful. Like I said, how is the moon fruitful? You made that on the fourth day in the light. Because why? Each time a person sees me at work or in my neighborhood or I speak, I got to be illuminated brighter and brighter and brighter. Sort of like when Paul was going to Damascus to kill and jack up some more people, and Yahshua appeared and blinded Paul. That story's in Acts. We just left Acts a couple months ago. That was one of the books we left. We left Acts, one of James, now we're in Thessalonians. They said it was bright, a light shine that was brighter than three noonday suns. I said, that's right. So this is Paul said, who am I persecuting? I said, me, Yahushua. So that's how I have to be like that moonlight where it gets to the point where like 14th to the 15th of the month, that's the fullest, brightest other moon. And that's comparable to what we would say, like Brother Chef Well brought up, Brother Garfield. The sun don't do that. The sun stay that way all the time. It stays bright from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. It don't start going, waxing. And then by the time it come out east, it's full. And then, it come out east, it's a sliver in the morning. Mm-hmm. And by 12 o'clock noon, it's full, like we see it now. If you look out your window, you see it coming in my window, bright light. And then at the time of evening, it start waxing, waning, getting small. So by the time sunset and it's setting in the west, it's back to a sliver, like I told you how tomorrow's going to be, because it's it's waning up. No, the sun stayed bright all the time through its whole course, from rising to setting, as we told in Psalms 19, as we told in chapter 72 or 71, 71, 72, 73 in the book of Enoch. I told about the luminary course. It's a famine on all these things. Just like share with today's date is the 26th of Tibet. That's a famine. Nobody heard it. They said, no, 26 was when? And it's January, the first month of the year. No, it's the 26th of Tibet, the 10th month. So it's a famine there. It's a famine of the ways of the Most High because people are not going back to the Torah, as Brother brought out last night so eloquently, and pulling things down under the obedience of what does say the Torah. What's the 12:27? Good. We can really stop this and shit. What else I should have brought out? Oh, one more thing. Kingdom, he's teaching the Beatitudes, chapter 5 to 7, kingdom of the earth. Something else. Fruit. Remember I said, know them by their fruit. So I have to shine, be fruitful every day. Every day he blessed me and wake me up. Even when it's I'm having a bad day or I allow something to change my attitude. I had to allow that. Remember I told you everything is appetites and desire. Because why? We see where it comes from. We see what he tells us in 1 John chapter 2. Lust of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. But all these things are appetites and we can control these things. And what James say? Because we war against because of things that we don't have, what the things we appetite desire for. They say lust. Lust all the time is not sexual. People think it's all sexual. Lust could be numerous of things that you have to learn to control. It all comes with an appetite. Adam and Eve had an appetite in that garden. Where was I at? Psalms. Okay. I'm going to say that one for last. But where we at? Oh. What was that? Okay. Share the circus thing. And it was Tommy, how we came into the book of James following Hanukkah. Because why? It taught like Brother Dan Wilson, like teaching us godly living. And now we're in what? Thessalonians. Thessalonians encouraging new believers, and not just new believers, people that know the truth, like we just read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 19, to know the truth and to stay in the truth and to show be truth dispensers. Show people. We're the dispense, like you have a dispenser right now for marijuana. That's interesting. You have food dispensaries of places that give food. Like I remember one when I was homeless, our daily bread here in Baltimore, Maryland. Shout out. Mm-hmm. Y'all used to be homeless. That's why I ate some good hot meals. That stopped me from breaking, wasn't it the cellar? That's what I murder. That's when I committed adultery. Seven. Now, so now I steal. I used to steal. Yeah. Brother Chavez used to be. Before I was Chavez, I was Rob. Gamebug. I was in the world. I used to steal. Now, I steal anything. I stole food. Yeah, I'm correct that. I stole food to eat. Not food to sell. Like you see, that's why I never buy nothing. Bro, walk down the street like, hey, man, I got these steaks. I got, first of all, 97 degrees outside, 53 humidity. And you probably stole them steaks this morning or last night. You don't even have them in a cooler. You don't even have your game perfected to have your stuff presented right. You walking down the street with some steaks. You sweating and they sweating too. You don't even have them in a cooler and ice and go, hey, let me show you something. You know how that's doing. It doesn't matter. So, I didn't steal no food to go out and sell it. No, I stole food to eat, chicken, eggs, pizza. But daily bread saved me from not doing that because I had a place to get some nutritious food. To be mindful of things. So the famine that we're facing now, family, we had to deal with. We had to reverse these things, and we're the dispensaries of some good nutrition and nutritious food. Like Ahabel said last week, so eloquently, we had to plant these seeds that Yahshua gave us. Because remember, he started in the beginning. He made the vegetation. Remember, he told him to be fruitful, multiply. Apple tree after his kind. Apple trees don't make oranges. Orange tree of this kind. Orange trees don't make grapes. You follow what I'm saying? And then like what he tell us. He even gave us a hint. He said, my father, the husbandry. I'm the true vine. Y'all the branches. You can't do nothing without me. I think that's Matthew 15, John 15. I apologize, man. And what he always said, you'll know them by their fruits. So we had to be seed dispensers, which we are, because we what? We Nabeed, right? Ain't Nabeed the housing of the seed of the prophet? I messed up. I don't know how that came, but you know where I'm coming at. So we had to feed these people. We got to now start going around the world, uprooting, as Jeremiah said 1:10. We had to pull down. We had to get the land properly, and we had to start being like Abraham, a sower. We got to start keep on sowing, dispensing good seeds. What? The Torah, showing people the Torah. Because we'd be the only Bible some people see, the only church some people hear. And what's going on out there now, there's plenty of churches out there going off tomorrow or whatever. But they're not giving the proper food, the proper nutrition. So it's still a lack of food. It's still a famine of the word of Yah. But in order to complete that famine and change your desire, you got to renew your mind in his word. You got to stay in his word. You got to stay prayed up. Pray without ceasing. Like the brother said last night, I'm sure he didn't. The way he said, what he was saying was, you don't have to, now you still can ask for prayer. Remember, I had taught last week, Thessalonians, we kind of say, we constantly think of you. We constantly pray for you as you pray for us. So that's where the prayer, we as believers, we constantly pose to pray for one another. But there's nothing wrong with asking for a prayer. And Brother Ariel last night, he wasn't saying, you got to ask, who did he say? Who he say for prayer? Oh, I think he said Ahabel. You can ask anybody to pray. Because remember we told in Hebrews chapter 4 that we know we have an advocate, a counselor, a helper. That he went through every trial or temptation that's known that mankind going to suffer. That's why we don't have to be starving. Remember the definition for a famine, a hunger, a lack of, deprive of, a want. We don't have to have a lack of that. We need to have a famine from the ways of the world, lust of the eye, pride of life. That's what we need to start famine from. We have to push away from that. Like people say, I'm watching my calories, and I'm walking today. You know? Hallelujah, Brother Dale. Well, I saw that. You look good out there on that park bench. Next bench I want to see you sitting on is the one down the street at Lake Clifton. If I see you down there, we'll get to go. I'm going to walk across the street and go in the store and get us I don't drink soda pop. Get me a bottle of water, get you whatever drink you want. But hallelujah, keep that up. But what he was bringing out last night, family, not saying you don't even go to Aha Bell and say, hey, pray for me. You can do that. You can pray for yourself. But yes, of course, you want more people putting up prayer. That's a no-brainer. He tells us that because why we a family. So I hope nobody took what Brother Ariel was bringing out. He was breaking out positions, people, you know. Oh, I'm an evangelist with Brother Daywell. I think that's what he said. Yeah. And I'm a fill-in teacher when something come up. That's why I'm here today instead of how about I keep. So just you can ask for prayer. You're not saying stop that. They're just letting you know, like, man, and we have an advocate now. We can come boldly because he's the high priest that sat down, seated at the right hand now. The other high priest, they didn't sit down. They had to do that every year to get the atonement. But he did it. We just read in 1 John 2, like, oh, he was our atonement sacrifice. 1 John 2 just told us that. So that's why he used to say, this high priest, he sat down now, and he hear all your prayers, and you want to pray to him. And you want people to have the same fruit like you have and possess to pray for you. So why you can get results so it don't bounce off the ceiling. Like James tells us, don't pray for the things. Yes, pray for the things you want, but make sure your desires are changed. Your mind is renewed. You're a new creature now. Remember I told you 1 Corinthians 5 or what, 2 Corinthians 5, like some of you were effeminate, some of you were murdered, thieves, this. Remember I told you I used to steal food. And they wouldn't say, that's what such were you. And were what? You no longer that now. You're a new creature now in Messiah. You're not starving no more for righteousness. We got all the righteousness we need to eat and drink. Like he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. But the people that don't lack and in need, you have to have the hunger and the thirst for the righteousness of the Most High. And you will be filled, because why? You cannot lie. You're not going to tell us something. And if it's like, oh, boy. Okay, on the note, it's 12:37. I apologize. I went over. So what I'm going to do right here, family, that was a famine. And so I didn't get into Isaac. Maybe y'all willing, I get into Isaac on Wednesday. Because Isaac, he faced a famine too. You find that in Genesis, Bereshit chapter 26, I believe. First time we heard him mention a famine was in Genesis 12, your father Abraham. But then as I brought out today, thanks to the Holy Spirit sharing this with me, because I didn't have this prepared, it's been a famine. And the first person that started the famine is that old serpent, Hasatan. Yep. Because of him, people lack and don't have what they want or what they think they may want and need. You don't need, but you got to renew your mind, wash your mind, get your mind right. Then you get the desires of your heart. Of course you ask and pray for something you need and want. You'd be a fool not to when he says, come to me as a young child, suffer not child. Bring your supplication to me. Bring your prayer request to me. Yeah, so the brother wasn't saying, you want to get called Ahabel. Ahabel phone will be kicking off. Because I'll start calling you. I need prayer. That's how I might call Ahabel right out of this lesson. No, I'm just playing. But, yeah. Well, enough of that. I'm going to read my closing scripture. Give me something. I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 15. This is one of my favorite scriptures when I was a Christian. Yep, I said that. I was a Christian. But I don't knock and chide that, because if it wasn't for Christianity, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't know a truth from a lie from a truth, darkness from light, the broad road from the narrow road. You following going that with that? You know, I wouldn't know a famine that Hosea was talking about is a famine of Yahweh word. And people perish for the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of what? My educational background? Yeah, I lack in that. You tell how I speak and talk, mess up words. I know Sister Sandra be cringing. Like, why do you say Sister Sandra? She a school teacher. I know she'd be like, oh, boy, you butchered that word. You used the word totally wrong. I apologize. And I always be blaming stuff on my overbite. Yeah, I couldn't pronounce that because of my overbite. Yeah, I might have... Not that smart on certain stuff. But we'll go to Psalms chapter 15. Let me stop. So we can go ahead. This is one of my favorite Psalms. Like I said, one of my ones that if it wasn't for that way, like I said, I would never know. Just like Paul tell us, if it wasn't for the law, we would not know we were sinners. Don't Paul say that? We're going to see what Paul said in Romans one day, not a day. Psalms 15 by Psalm of David. The man that was... never lacked the famine. David had a famine one time, remember two times. Spiritually, he had that famine when he did what happened with Bathsheba. And then he had a famine in Samuel. Well, we're going to get to that. He had a famine one other time. He caused the famine. But usually David, he ate pretty well. And we had the secret to eating well. We had the thirst and hunger and trust in the Yahushua, Mashiach. And also Hebrews chapter 11:6, what it say? How to prevent a famine. Them that diligently seek for the Most High. That's what Hebrew, right? That's Hebrew chapter 11:6. That's how we can avoid a famine. Psalms 15, Yahweh, who shall dwell in your sanctuary? Who shall live in your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speak truth in his mind. Remember, they well broke that down so good when he opened James. These issues come out of the abundance of our, it's a heart, but we know out of your mind, these thoughts. So that's why we have to renew our mind. Verse 3, he who does not slander with his tongue that's murdering with your tongue, like I brought out earlier today. Nor does evil to his friend, bear false witness, cause mischief. Nor cast slurs against his fellow man. Ah, there it is again, bear false witness. In whose eyes a vile man is despised, but who honors those who fear Yahweh, he who keeps an oath even when it hurts and doesn't change. That's why if you wonder, like, how that's your favorite, one of your favorite songs? Because verse 4, I was going through some things in my life when I came across this. And that one right there, this walk we in now, family, when you try to walk in the light and the trueness of the Most High in this famished world, darkened world, it can get hard. And it can hurt. And it can make you want to say, man, I quit, I changed. I'm lacking. I don't have nothing. I'm suffering. What? Why? Because that's the lust of the world and the pride of life changing my appetite. My appetite, my menu supposed to be heavenly treats, not earthly delights. You find what I'm saying, family? I'm supposed to be eating good heaven, the words of life. What do you say in Deuteronomy 8? Man can't live off of bread alone. In Deuteronomy 8, 4, 4, 8, so I apologize for that. But every word proceeds out of the mouth of Yah. Sometimes it hurts, but you keep an oath, even when it hurts. So when you say keep an oath, man, we learned about oaths in Numbers chapter 5 when we was in Numbers years ago. But also we heard about it in Matthew, like Matthew 12, how she would talk about Mr. Yavie, Navy Nay. That's what keeping an oath. Try not to say anything that you don't mean. Don't say it because it's fitting and it's timely and it goes good with the conversation, or this what a person may want to hear. Yahshua never did that. Remember, he said things straight up and wouldn't say. He speak with authority. Why? When you tell truth, truth brings authority. And he do verse 5. And he doesn't lend out his money for usury. That means interest. Nor take a bribe against the innocent. I mean, somebody tell you, hey, I'm gonna grease your palms. I'm gonna give you something. If you just say this or turn the other way. That's why we have so much corruption now in our city officials, not just here in Maryland municipalities, but other states, local, higher local governments, judicial court systems. Why so much of that? And he does these things. This is how you get into that kingdom. Remember the Beatitudes, Matthew 5 and 7, kingly living, James told us. He who does these things shall never be shaken. What did Yahshua say when he said, hey, your brother, mother, sister, in John 12, 46 to 50, while he was teaching, he said, oh, my brother, mother, and sister are those who do the word of God. He didn't say just hear it. We got to be doers, hearers. You got to be able to hear it first. Faith come by hearing, but then you have to be a doer of it to produce what? Fruit. To cut that lack of that famine, to be food dispensers, seed dispensers of good word of Yah, righteousness. So we can't just hear it. Yeah. You got to be like Abraham. We got to be a doer. Faith, like James said, without works, it's dead. It's not going to produce anything. It's going to be like that fig tree when Yahshua was hungry and said, oh, my God, you don't have no figs on you? You won't have a fig no more. Yep, and that was one of my favorite still is, family. And I'm going to read that Hebrews in your hand, and we're going to close out. Sorry about that. I know I went over 1230, 1245. That's pretty good for me. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews 11. Maybe the way they were just reading, but the verse I was looking for. I didn't know that chapter was pretty long, man. Golly. I can't find it. Like some half the days, my day, boy, I'm looking at stuff and I still can't see. But it's in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, those who diligently seek him. So maybe, I think maybe that wasn't in Hebrews 11. Apologize, man. Hold on one second. Let me see. There it is, Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Yahweh, Elohim, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's how we combat our famine. And hopefully the next lesson Yahweh showed me, which I wanted to do today, but I didn't know, but Messiah, we showed the difference of famines. We have two kinds of food. You have a famine of, the, like I said, the world, and a famine from the Most High Word. And we as believers, we want a famine from the world. We want that famine. We want to set that famine. We don't want the famine from the Most High ways, which the world is receiving now. They're not getting taught how to eat the right way, the proper way, how to cleanse themselves and be presentable. So that's what we have to realize. Right? So on that note, I thank you for your listen. I'm sorry I took you 15 minutes over. I'm supposed to stop at 12:30. Good brother Yariel, I'm going to be bringing that word today. Yahweh bless him. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, a trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one. Trustworthy are you, your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. Hallelujah. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who's trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Father Yah, I want to thank you for, as I said earlier, can't thank you enough for your mercy and your grace awakening all of us who hear this message now, and for those who can't hear it now while it's live, if they can go back and hear it in the archive, and they can put, they can prepare their plate with some of the food that you've been dispensing through your Moré, like such as Moré Yariel, when he was teaching the Sabbath lessons during his 6 weeks. Moré Yariel, who started his lesson last week on the Sabbath evening, the beginning of the Sabbath, and Brother Aha Bell, who will be back, Yah willing, next Sabbath, so we can eat some more of him. Brother Yakael, Brother Deuel, all the brothers, even the brothers that don't teach, brother, because when they talk and speak, remember I told you, that's what we do. Brother Mariel, Brother Shafu'el, all the Akis, Akis, Kanukal, that's our brother, that's Brother Wendell, he's down in Houston. So we have someone down there speaking the word of Yah and dispensing food and to stop that famine. We got someone all the way down in Houston helping us feed people to break the famine. We got Brother Baruch. He's in Georgia. He's helping people to eat the proper food. So we thank you for all y'all and continue to bless us, watch over our health, and help our minds, mindset. And whatever things troubled us, Father y'all, if they didn't do it, may they leave them, cast them burdens, leave it at that door. That door shut. Today is the Shabbat to receive your blessings that you gave on us. Blessings that we don't even know. We can't even see them and realize how much this day is full of your blessings. So we thank you. Watch over the children in the congregation. That's the future Beth Yahweh. Watch over the wives through the spirit of Jezebel. Give them the spirit of a helpmeet, spirit of Sarah and Abigail, the righteous women that was planting the right seeds. And we thank you, Father Yah. And continue, Father Yah, lead and guide us and blessing us so that we can be on one accord. As you gave us this, you've given us the formula, and you also showing us how we do this. We just left the book of Acts, but we have to be on one accord. So, Father Yah, so we can get a place of worship so we can present to the world, show them your light. Show, dispense your food to combat that famine. In the book of James, faith without works. So when we say things, make a commitment, We just read in Psalms 15, the last sentence in verse 5 of Psalms 15. So be mindful of the things that we do. We're your kingdom citizens. We're giving people a glance. So we have to shine in order to draw people to make them want to eat from you the true vine, to make them want to become kingdom citizens. I don't know about you. I don't want to live somewhere in the community or somewhere where I'm like, I don't like that. I don't want to be with them. So we have to be mindful of that, like I said, every day, that our works of the Father, to glorify the Father, shine through us. Now, thank you for listening to Beth Yahweh. Tune in if you can, if you're able to, at 2:30 for Brother Yariel, because he will be bringing some manna from on high. And thank you in the name of Yahushua, our soon coming King and Redeemer. Amen. Shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. I don't know how to do this.